Then the Sheikh of Islam moves on, and what occurs here on page 294 of the Lebanese print, of the Egyptian print, it's on page 228. There comes a small section which has been given the heading here, Al-Kufru Bit-Taghut Wal-Imanu Billah. Rejecting At-Taghut and having Iman in Allah. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, said in explanation, or rather the text after that title, there comes the main text, the saying of Shaykh al-Islam, وَافْتَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَلَى جَمِيعِ الْعِبَادِ الْكُفْرَ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَالْإِيمَانَ بِاللَّهِ. And Allah made it obligatory upon all of the servants to reject At-Taghut and to have Iman in Allah. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, the Shaykh, rahimahullah, said, and Allah has made it obligatory upon all of the servants to reject At-Taghut and to have Iman in Allah. He said, then he mentioned the definition of At-Taghut. I mean, the author, Shaykh al-Islam, in the next section, he gives a definition of At-Taghut, that which we have been commanded to reject. The Shaykh defined it. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, before mentioning the definition, moving into the definition, he said, At-Taghut has been mentioned by Allah, the Majestic and Most High, in many ayahs. From them is his saying, he the Most High, in Surah Al-Baqarah, فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدِ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَا انْفِصَامَ لَهَا وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ اللَّهُ وَلِيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ والذين كفروا أولياؤهم الطاغوت يخرجونهم من النور إلى الظلمات أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayahs 256 to 257, the two ayahs which come after Ayatul Kursi. With the explanation, so whoever rejects At-Taghut, which is everything that's worship besides Allah, and the full definition will follow, inshaAllah. So whoever rejects At-Taghut and believes truly in Allah, then he has grasped the firmest handhold that will not break, and Allah is all-hearing, all-knowing. Allah is the guardian Lord of those who truly believe. He brings them out from darkness into light. And those who disbelieve, then their supporters are At-Taghut. They take them out from the light into darkness. They are the inhabitants of the fire. They will remain in it forever. And Shaykh Fawzan said, and there occurs in Surah An-Nisa, his saying, he the Most High. And he mentions another ayah, which mentions At-Taghut. He said, quoting the ayah, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا نَصِيبًا مِنَ الْكِتَابِ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْجِبْتِ وَالْطَاغُوتِ وَيَقُولُونَ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا هَؤُلَاءِ أَهْدَى مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا سَبِيلًا. Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah, ayah 50. With the explanation, will you not consider those who were given a portion of the scripture? They believe in al-jibt, the idols, soothsayers and sorcery, and in at-taghut. And they say to those who disbelieve that they are closer to the truth than the believers. Those disbelievers of Mecca, they said, You are closer to the truth than the Muslims. Sheikh Fawzan said, and this ayah is with regard to the Jews, came down with regard to the Jews. In other words, it was the Jews who said, when the people of Mecca, when Islam came to the people of Mecca and the people of Mecca refused to accept, then they asked the people of the scripture, they asked the Jews. So the Jews said from their envy and hatred towards the truth that you people of shirk, worship of idols, you are close to the truth than what they are calling you to, what the Muslims are calling you to. Then Sheikh Fawzan said, and he the perfect said with regard to the hypocrites, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ يَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ يُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يَتَحَاكَمُوا إِلَى الطَّاغُوتِ وَقَدْ أُمِرُوا أَنْ يَكْفُرُوا بِهِ. Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah, ayah 51. And it says here ayah 60, but it's just a printing error in both these editions here. It's actually ayah 51. The ayah with the explanation, will you not consider those who claim that they believe in that which came down to you and in that which came down before you, wishing to refer for judgment to At-Taghut, and they were commanded to reject it. And Sheikh Fawzan said, and there occurs in Surah An-Nahl, the 16th surah, that He the Majestic and Most High said, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. Surah An-Nahl, 16th surah, ayah 36, with the explanation, and we sent a messenger to every nation commanding, worship Allah alone and keep away from At-Taghut. Then Sheikh Fawzan said, with regard to this word, this term At-Taghut, he said, At-Taghut is derived from At-Tughyan, which is an Arabic word, At-Taghut. It's derived from the word At-Tughyan, exceeding the limits, exceeding the bounds, going beyond the limits, as the Sheikh said, and it is to exceed the due limit, Mujawazatul Had, to exceed the due limit, the due bound. So it is said, it's said in the language, Taghal Ma, the water has done Tughyan, it's done this verb here, when the water raises above its level, has a set level, when the water raises over that and bursts its banks, that is said about the water, it has done Tughyan, it's exceeded the limits. He the Most High said, Inna lamma taghal ma'u hamalnakum fil jariyah. Surah Al-Haq, the 69th surah, ayah 11, with the explanation, when the water tagha, when the water went beyond its limits, went beyond its bounds, then we carried you in the ark. So Sheikh Fawzan has indicated that where this word for taghut, where it's derived from in the language. In the language it's derived and it's used in the language to mean something going beyond its due limit, exceeding the bounds. Then comes the next part, the saying of Shaykh al-Islam, قال ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى, and that the dua is missed out here, but it's in all the other versions there, رحمه الله تعالى, معنى الطاغوت ما تجاوز به العبد حده من معبود أو متبوع أو مطاع. He brings a statement of Imam Ibn al-Qayyim with the comprehensive definition of what is meant by taghut. What does taghut mean? What does it cover? So he said, Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, may Allah the Most High have mercy upon him, said, the meaning of at-taghut is anyone regarding whom the servant goes beyond the due bounds, whether it is someone worshipped, or obeyed, or followed. Anyone regarding whom the person goes beyond the due limits, whether it's someone who is worshipped, or whether it's someone who is obeyed, or whether it's someone who is followed. And just before moving on to the explanation of Shaykh al-Fawzan, there was a point I was supposed to add just there. As for the last point, the point about rejecting at-Taghut, then in the explanation of Shaykh Muhammad Aman al-Jami, rahimahullah, he made an important point here. He said, with regard to the previous point, rejecting the obligation of rejecting at-Taghut, that Shaykh Muhammad Aman said, rahimahullah, Allah made it obligatory upon all of the servants to reject at-Taghut and to have iman, to truly believe in Allah alone. And if a person does not reject the different taghuts, then he will not be benefited, and it will be of no assistance to him, his iman. If he does not reject the taghuts, then his iman will not benefit him, will be no use for him. Meaning the fact that he says, I believe in Allah, but he doesn't reject taghut, then he's saying that he believes in Allah will not benefit him at all. The Shaykh said, meaning, there must be a gathering between rejection and iman. I mean, rejection of taghut, a Muslim has to reject the taghut and have iman in Allah. The Shaykh said, and if you wish, you can say, put another way, that you must gather between... You must gather between negation and affirmation. La ilaha, none has the right to be worshipped, is a negation. So he breaks it down into the shahada, the basic shahada of Islam that enters a person into Islam. La ilaha, none has the right to be worshipped. This is negation, or it is rejection of everything that is worshipped besides Allah. And illallah, except for Allah, is affirmation of worship for Allah alone. So I made this important point, which is missed by many people. Many of the Muslims, they miss out on this point. They say, we believe in Allah, and no doubt we believe in it. We're all Muslims, we believe in Allah. Then if you are truly a Muslim, you must have rejected the taghut. Everything that's worship besides Allah, you must reject it. Reject that worship of it. And free yourself from it. And truly believe in Allah and affirm your worship for Allah alone. Worship Allah alone for your iman to be of any benefit to you. So then to move on to the next point, the definition of what is at-taghut, that Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, the meaning of at-taghut is anyone regarding whom the servant goes beyond the due bounds, whether it is someone worshipped, or someone obeyed, or someone followed. Shaykh Fawzan, hafidhullah, said in explanation, as for the meaning of at-taghut in the legislation, then it is just as Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, mentioned. And the author, the Shaykh, quoted him here, saying, At-Taghut ma tajawaza bihil abdu haddahu. Whoever the servant goes beyond the due limits regarding. Shaykh Fawzan said, the servant, meaning obviously a person, has a due limit. Every person has a due set limit, because he is a servant. Allah has given him bounds, which it is obligatory that he should stop at. So if he goes beyond them, then he will be a taghut. The person goes beyond his set limits, he is a taghut. So whoever goes beyond the limits set by Allah for his servants, and which he has commanded them not to exceed, and not to come close to, then he is a taghut. So if he disobeys Allah and goes beyond his limits, and goes beyond the bounds, then he is called a taghut. Because he has tagha, he has gone beyond the limits, and he has exceeded the limits laid down by Allah. So he's saying, مَا تَجَاوَزَ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ حَدَّهُ مِنْ مَعْبُودٍ أَوْ مَتْبُوعٍ أَوْ مُطَاعٍ. So he's saying, it is anyone. The taghut is anyone regarding whom the servant exceeds the limits. Whether it be someone worshipped, or someone followed, or someone obeyed. Sheikh Fawzan said, this is the comprehensive definition for the taghut. Because Allah the Majestic and Most High commanded that he be worshipped alone, and that no partner be set up with him. And he commanded that his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, should be followed. And he commanded that he should be obeyed, and that his messenger should be obeyed, with regard to that which he declared lawful and that which he declared forbidden. So whoever goes beyond this matter, whoever exceeds the limit in this matter, then he is a taghut. Whoever exceeds the limit of worship, which Allah has made obligatory, and which is particular to him, and which he has negated for anyone else besides him, and then this person worships anything else along with Allah, then he is a taghut. The mushrik, the person of shirk, is a taghut. Because he has exceeded the limit with regard to worship, and has worshipped someone else along with Allah. So directing worship to other than the one who deserves it, He has directed worship to other than the one who deserves it. And likewise, whoever is worshipped, and he is pleased with that. I mean, the limit for worship is that it is to be directed to Allah alone, not for anyone else. So as soon as someone directs worship to other than Allah, he has exceeded the limits with regard to worship, and he is, that person is a taghut. So therefore the person who does shirk, he is a taghut. And likewise, the Shaykh said, and the one who is worshipped, and he is pleased with being worshipped, someone besides Allah who is worshipped, and he is pleased with being worshipped. Likewise, the person who is worshipped by the people, and he is pleased with that, and he establishes himself as a chief, and as a leader upon that basis, such as Fir'aun, and Namrud, and the sheikhs of the extreme Sufi tariqas, extreme Sufi paths, those who are worshipped by their followers, those who have acts of worship directed by their followers to them, and they are pleased with that, or who call the people to that, meaning to worship them, as will follow, then this is a taghut with regard to worship. This person will be a taghut. The one who worships something other than Allah, or the one who himself is worshipped and is pleased with that, or who calls the people to worship him. He is a taghut. He said, he's saying, أَوْ مَتْبُوعٍ, or one who is followed. Sheikh Fawzan said, Allah the Majestic and Most High commanded the whole of the creation that they should follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So it is not permissible for anyone to follow anyone else besides him, alayhi salatu wassalam. So whoever follows other than the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and claims that this is permissible, then he will be a taghut. because he has followed someone other than the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one whom we have been commanded to follow. So al-ittiba, following, is specific to the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As for other than him, from the scholars and the callers, then they are followed when they follow the way of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the one who is followed in truth is the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the one who is followed unrestrictedly is the Messenger. Without any restriction, we have to check, is it this or that? Is the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't need to check if it's authentic, he said something or did something. He is the one that we follow, without question. As for the scholars and the callers, then we need to check what they're saying here. Is it in compliance with the Messenger, what the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, came with? So the Shaykh said, so following is specific to the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As for other than him, from the ulama, from the scholars and the callers, then those people, they are followed when they follow the way of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the one who is actually followed is the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As for those people, then they are just conveying the message. They are followed for the truth, and upon whatever they conform to, with regard to the following of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And wherever they are contrary to what the Messenger was upon, then it is not permissible to follow that person. Even if he's a scholar, a great scholar, even if he's a caller, it's not permissible to follow him when it becomes clear that he has made a mistake. He is not upon something which is following the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the Shaykh gives an example of this. He said, an example of this, an example of that, are the Shaykhs of the Sufi tariqas, the Sufi paths. Their followers follow them, and their worshippers, upon other than obedience to the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, in matters that they command, these extreme Sufi Shaykhs, they give commands to their followers to do this, do that, do this. Things which are clearly in contradiction to Islam. And they still follow them upon it. The Shaykh said, indeed, they say, we have no need for the Messenger. I mean, some of the extreme ones amongst them, this is what they say. They say, we have no need for the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because we take from where the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, took from. And we take knowledge directly. Obviously referring here to the extreme Sufis, not all Sufis, the extreme, most extreme amongst them. They say, we don't need your chains of narration, we don't need your books of hadith. We take knowledge directly from Allah, from where the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, took it from. Our Shaykh takes directly from Allah. I don't think this is something, you know, this is something that actually occurs in this upon the earth. You find people who say this. Amazing as it seems, this exists and is found. So the Shaykh said that they say, we take from where the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, took from. And we take knowledge directly from Allah. They say, the Messenger, then they add a step further in deviation. They say, the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took from Allah through an intermediary, via Jibreel. Whereas we take directly from Allah. This is what some of them say, some of the extreme Sufis. They say this. They say, you people of the Sunnah, okay, you take from somebody who's dead, somebody chain of narration. So this is the scholar, he's died. This scholar, the next in the chain of narration, he's died. All the way back to the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, even he didn't take directly from Allah, he took from Jibreel, who took from Allah. Whereas we, they say, our Shaykh takes directly knowledge from Allah. This is what they say. Shaykh said, and they say, you people narrate your religion from those who have died. I mean, you take your books of hadith, al-Bukhari, you can narrate it from his sheikh, all of them have died, passed away now. So you take your religion from dead people. Whereas we take our, we narrate our religion from Allah, the Perfect and Most High, directly. Because they claim that their sheikhs have a connection with Allah, and that they take knowledge from Allah directly. That's what these devils claim. These heads of the extreme Sufis, that's what they claim. Then Sheikh Fawzan said, they have reached this level of transgression, of tughyan, and Allah's refuge is sought. This is their tariqah, this is their way. There is no doubt that those people are heads of the taghuts, and Allah's refuge is sought. Because there is no way to Allah, the Majestic and Most High, except through following the Messenger, except through following His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He, the Most High, said, "Qul in kuntum tuhibbun Allah fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum." وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ قُلْ أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ. Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayahs 31-32. With the explanation, say, if you truly love Allah, then follow me, follow the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah will love you, and He will forgive you your sins. And Allah forgives extensively, and bestows mercy. Say, obey Allah and the Messenger. So if they turn away, then Allah does not love the disbelievers. Shaykh Fawzan said, so the person who follows other than the Messenger, this one is counted as a taghut. You like the example that he gave. He said, somebody who says, I have got a Sufi Shaykh, whatever he says, I take it. Doesn't matter what. Doesn't matter, you can prove to me from books of hadith or eat. What he's saying here is contrary to Islam. I trust him, no matter what. The Shaykh says, well, he's taken somebody besides the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom he unquestionably follows. So the Shaykh says, so the one who follows other than the Messenger, this person is counted as a taghut. And likewise, the one who calls people to follow him, and says to the people, I will bring you orders directly from Allah. This is the greatest one of the taghuts in existence in the world. And Allah's refuge is sought. Then he moves on to the next category that he mentions. He said, he's saying, how mutaa, or one who is obeyed. I'm sorry, apologies again for this ridiculous echo here. That's annoying me. I don't know if it's annoying you, but it's certainly annoying me. قَوْلُهُ أَوْ مُطَاءٍ, his saying, or one who is obeyed. The Shaykh said, الطَاءَ, obedience, is to be for Allah and for His Messenger regarding what He declares to be lawful and what He declares to be forbidden. He, the Most High, said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهُ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولُ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنْ تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah, ayah 59. With the explanation, O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger, and those in authority from amongst you. And if you dispute about anything, then refer it back to Allah and to the Messenger, if you truly believe in Allah and in the last day. That is what is best for you, and what is best in its consequences. Sheikh Fawzan said, so what is halal, what is lawful, is that which Allah has made lawful. And that which is haram, forbidden, is that which Allah has made forbidden. And it is not for anyone to share with Allah in making things lawful or forbidden. And therefore Allah passed a judgment upon those who declare things lawful, or declare things forbidden, or is obeyed, that whoever does that, he is a mushrik, a person of shirk. He, the Perfect and Most High, said, فَكُلُوا مِمَّا ذُكِرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ بِآيَاتِهِ مُؤْمِنِينَ وَمَا لَكُمْ أَن لَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا ذُكِرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَقَدْ فَصَّلَ لَكُمْ مَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِلَّا مَا اضْطُرِرْتُمْ إِلَيْهِ وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا لَيُضِلُّونَ بِأَهْوَائِهِمْ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُعْتَدِينَ وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَهُ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْسِبُونَ الْإِثْمَ سَيُجْزَوْنَ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْتَرُونَ بِمَا كَانُوا يَقْتَرِفُونَ جزاك الله خير. نعم. بِمَا كَانُوا يَقْتَرِفُونَ وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْقٌ وَإِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ لَيُوحُونَ إِلَى أَوْلِيَائِهِمْ يُجَادِلُوكُمْ وَإِنْ أَطَعْتُمُوهُمْ إِنَّكُمْ لَمُشْرِكُونَ Surah Al-An'am, the 6th Surah, Ayahs 118 to 121, with the explanation, so eat from that which Allah's name has been mentioned upon, if you truly believe in His signs. And why would you not eat from that which Allah's name has been mentioned upon, when He has made clear to you whatever has been made forbidden for you, except for that which you have a dire need of? And there are many who misguide with their desires without knowledge. Indeed, your Lord knows best those who exceed the limits. And leave off outward and inward sins. Those who earn sin shall be recompensed for what they earned. And do not eat from that which Allah's name is not mentioned upon, and it is sin. And the devils inspire their followers to dispute with you. And if you were to obey them, then you would be mushrikun, you would be people of shirk. Shaykh Fawzan said in explanation, because the people of Jahiliyyah, the people of the times of ignorance, they said, I mean, this is their dispute which they brought, the people of ignorance, the disbelievers, this is the dispute that they brought to the Muslims. He said, they said, Al-Maita, carrion, meat which has just died. It's not been slaughtered, it's died. It's died. They said, carrion is lawful, because Allah, He is the one who slaughtered it. You know, an animal which just drops dead, or it's not properly slaughtered. And who slaughtered it then? They say Allah is the one who slaughtered that animal. So it has more right to being lawful than that which you people sacrifice and slaughter. So Allah, the Mighty, the Majestic and Most High, says, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا, and do not eat, except what has been slaughtered in the legislated manner. And He made forbidden for you carrion, dead meat, meat that's just died. Whereas those people, people of ignorance, they said, no, mater, carrion, meat that's just an animal that's just died, that has more right to be lawful than that which has been slaughtered. Because slaughtering, it's you people who have slaughtered it. Whereas an animal that's just died, then Allah is the one who's slaughtered it. Shaykh Fawzan said, and therefore he refuted the people of shirk and said, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْقٌ. Allah the Most High refuted this argument of theirs with this part of the ayah, with the explanation, and do not eat from that which Allah's name has not been mentioned upon, and it is sin. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning, it is to exit from obedience to Allah, the perfect, the Mighty and Majestic. And he said after it, وَإِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ لَيُحُونَ إِلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِهِمْ, part of the ayah with the explanation, and the devils inspire their allies. Sheikh Fawzan said that they say, Al-Maita, animal that's just died, carrion, it was slaughtered by Allah. Whereas the animals that you people slaughter, you have slaughtered them. So how can you hold as lawful that which you people sacrifice, but you do not regard as lawful that which Allah has sacrificed? Sheikh Fawzan said, this is a false and futile argument. Then he, the Most High, said, وَإِنْ أَطَعْتُمُوهُمْ إِنَّكُمْ لَمُشْرِكُونَ, that if you were to, with the explanation, if you were to obey them, you would be people of shirk. And if you declared that thing, an animal that just dies, drops dead, they want you to declare it lawful. They say, Allah has slaughtered it. Okay, you didn't slaughter it, Allah slaughtered it. That's even better, even more lawful then. So they want you to declare it lawful to eat that. So if we were to declare that lawful, when Allah the Most High has declared it forbidden to eat that meat, if we were to declare that lawful, then we would be people of shirk. The Shaykh said, because this is shirk with God, regard to obedience. Because declaring something lawful and declaring something forbidden, these are the right of Allah, the Majestic and Most High. Then he finished with this paragraph saying, so it is not permissible for anyone to declare lawful or to declare something forbidden from his own self, or to obey someone in declaring something lawful or something forbidden from his own self. And whoever does that, then he is a taghut, and he is obeying the taghuts. Those people who declare things lawful and declare things forbidden besides Allah. This is the meaning of his saying, al-muta, or one who is obeyed. Meaning obeyed in declaring things lawful and forbidden. Because declaring things lawful and things forbidden is the right of Allah, the Majestic and Most High. And the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was one who conveyed from Allah that which he made lawful and that which he declared forbidden.